Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's another episode of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast, episode 57. I am one of the hosts of the show, Eugene. You can find me on Twitter at Fantasy Jeans. That's G-E-N-E-S. Also, our official Twitter handle at Off the Line FF. Of course, I got my fellow Cowboys fan and host with me, Ike. How are you feeling today? I know we were bummed out about that Cowboys game, but how are you doing?
Who's bummed out? I feel fine. I feel great. I feel amazing. Yeah, it's disappointing the Cowboys lost, but you know, at the end of the day, we saw them, you know, win 12 games last year, lead the NFL in takeaways, and have a good season offensively, and we just needed to see them perform in the playoffs. And you know, for a little bit, they had us going. You know, they beat the brakes off the Bucks. And then, you know, everybody kept asking me, so what do you think's going to happen in the game today? And my response was, we'll see. I mean, that's kind of what the Cowboys have reduced this to, at least me, because, you know, you don't want to be like, oh, yeah, they're going to win the Super Bowl, they're going to do this, because that's unrealistic, right? That's unrealistic. That is not the way. That's not the way that I am now.
It
hasn't been that way for years. So I just, you know, needed to see them be successful in the playoffs. And until that happens, it is what it is. That's the, you know, the best way that I can really put it, honestly.
Yeah, it's funny. One of my friends that hit me up the other day, right before that game started, he's like, "Hey, how you feeling about this game?" I was like, "You know, it should be a competitive game." And what I said exactly was that, if we can win the line of scrimmage offensively and defense holds their own in terms of, you know, getting pressure when they need to versus Purdy, I think it'll be a good chance. And sure enough, Cowboys, they did, the offensive and defensive line did their thing. They held their own. It was really on Dak, and, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it, but he fucked up. So this is as easy as you could put it. He fucked up. Like everybody else held their end of the bargain except for him. So
yeah, we can get into it now. We can get to the game. You know, obviously the ending wasn't ideal. Dak did not play his best game. He was really bad, and you know, the interceptions that he threw were, you know the first one was, you know, you can probably, I don't know, if the, you can't really, you know, place a percentage on who's to blame for the interception. You know, the ball left Dak's hands, a pass he probably shouldn't have thrown to a receiver that wasn't even open. And, you know, we can talk about Michael Gallup running a bad route and letting a defender hit him, you know, or a defender meet him or beat him to the ball again, like he's done in, you know, previous occasions this year. It's kind of sad to kind of watch Michael Gallup play this year, because he's been invisible for much of the season. But, and then, you know, the second interception, that was second and two from the 18. We were going in to score, and, you know, Dak throws it right to Jimmy Ward. And Jimmy Ward was going to get it, then Fred Warner got it.
Fred Warner, yep.
So, you know, those were two bad interceptions. And that actually turned, you know, that actually turned the game. It was the Pollard injury like a play or two before.
Yep.
And then immediately after that, Dak throws the interception. So he, you know, he had opportunities to, you know, to take a stranglehold of this game, and he failed. You know, there's really nothing else to add to that. I mean, obviously, you know, after Tony Pollard went out, there was no other threat on the outside, to threaten the 49ers defense. You know, Michael, mm-hmm. We talked about Michael Gallup and not being who he once was before. You know, T.Y. Hilton had just gotten to the team, you know, several weeks ago, and he's not really that involved in the offense. You know, Dalton Schultz underneath, but he's not going to, you know, threaten anybody up the seam, like, you know, deep seam routes or anything like that. But it was just it was a CeeDee Lamb show, and CeeDee Lamb is, you know, if there's one positive takeaway from the season, is that CeeDee Lamb proved that he's a number one, that he is a bona fide number one receiver, and we needed another guy opposite of him to threaten the 49ers defense. And, you know, since we didn't have that guy, Dak struggled. And, you know, Dak is not that quarterback. He's not a quarterback that, you know, can be the sole reason why you win a Super Bowl, right? He can't do it himself. But I feel like if you do you know, add some more weapons and more, you know, more help around him, he may be able to get over the hump. But as of right now, like, Dak's not the guy that can get over the hump right now as the team is currently constructed. You know, that's an indictment on him. It's an indictment on the front office for not, you know, doing everything it takes like other front offices do to win games and to win championships. Like, I mean, just think about it. Like, the Eagles and the 49ers, they were probably the two most aggressive teams this offseason and in the regular season. And guess what? They're playing for the NFC Championship. I mean, that's not a coincidence, right? It's not a coincidence. And so, but hey, you know, the Cowboys fall short again in the playoffs. This is Dak and Tony Romo have the same playoff record, which is amazing. You know, so I guess it just kind of goes back to just, you know, the team, how, you know, the organization, how they do business, how they go about, you know, free agents, off season, things of that nature. It's not really a Dak problem. It's not really a Tony Romo problem. It's just the team, one way or another, always falls short in the divisional round. You know, 28 years in counting without reaching an NFC Championship game. So, but you know, Dak needs to be better. He definitely needs to be better. His last two playoff games to end each of the last two postseasons versus the 49ers have not been good. And so he has not shown up when we needed him the most. And we've seen him play good games in the past. It's just these last two playoff games against the 49ers have left a lot to be desired. He's left a lot on the field. So that's another story to kind of look at in the offseason to see what the front office does to, because, you know, you have at least two more years of Dak Prescott, at least two more years before we can start doing something with this contract. The best thing to do is to, you know, it's not replace. You can't replace them realistically. You can't replace them. There's financially, it makes no sense. Can't bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's more expensive and older, right? That makes no sense. And so the best thing you can do is go all in on offense, right? You just have to, you know, draft a receiver, go, you know, whoever's available in free agency, get them, and leave no excuses. Like, this is, you need to surround him with as much talent as possible. And if he doesn't get it done then, hey, we can have another conversation. But
yeah, I mean, you've seen people on Twitter or in these Cowboys centric groups or just any fantasy group that we're in, and the first thing people say is like, oh, we just need to get a new quarterback. When you replace Dak, okay, well, who? No, crickets. Like, when you're tied to somebody that has like a $70-80 million cap hit, he's not going nowhere. Like, just get it out your head now. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. He ain't going anywhere next year, and he's probably not going anywhere the year after that. So front office definitely needs to figure out a way to get him another weapon outside, and he needs to get in the lab and try to figure out why he's throwing stupid ass picks.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about those interceptions is that, like, his interception rate this year was 3.9 or 3.7 or something along those lines. That brought his career average up to 2%. So he was below 2% for his career. So he was pretty good at taking care of the ball. This year was just an anomaly. And, you know, there was, you know, you can name, you know, different situations where he threw picks. You can assign blame here, assign blame there. But the bottom line is the ball left his hands and the ball was caught by another defender, by a player that's not a Cowboy. So
yeah,
he's definitely got to clean that shit up. And, you know, let's hope it was an anomaly this year, right? Because it's much higher than his career average.
Yeah, just focusing on fantasy wise, CeeDee Lamb, how are we looking at him now in terms of, you know, wide receiver rankings going into next year? Now, seeing everything, how he performed this whole year in totality, are we looking at him now as like a bona fide top five dynasty and redraft wide receiver now?
I think he was already going in the top five in redraft this fall. Because
I mean, but people were debating like, oh, well, you know, you got, you know, AJ, or, you know, you got Tyreek, or you got Stephon. But I think now, I know dynasty wise, he should definitely be in front of those guys just because of, you know, production and age, even though we did see Tyreek, you know, lead the league in yards, his best output for the season with Tua, but still, you know, he's going
Jefferson,
on 20.
Jefferson.
Oh, Jefferson. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And then Tyreek came second, but you know, his best year ever, but he's going on 29. You know, Dynasty is a game of who's young.
The youth movement.
Yeah, the youth movement, man. So I think definitely he should be in that conversation of top three, top four wide receiver dynasty wise. And then even redraft, I think, again, he should still be in that conversation just because you saw when we something that we've always a lot of people preach is that, hey, put him in the slot. He's more successful in that position. And as you saw when he's played there, I think almost 70% of the season, you get this output. So hopefully Gallup gets another year under his belt in terms of, you know, getting healthy with the knee and you go draft somebody. I know I've seen drafts with JSN somehow falls the low 20s. Like, yeah, bring that on, man. If he can win outside,
bring another talented guy, bring another dog in here. You know, that would work. But yeah, no, CeeDee Lamb is definitely a top five dynasty and redraft wide receiver. You know, like, as I mentioned earlier, he was already going in the top five, especially in redraft leagues. And a lot of these best ball teams that we drafted this summer, he was going as, you know, the wide receiver 5-6, tail end of the first round, early second round. And the, you know, the rationale was pretty simple, all the volume. Because who else did Dak have to throw to? He had Dalton Schultz, but a number two wide receiver did not exist because, you know, Michael Gallup was going to be out the first couple of games. All we had was Jalen Tolbert, and he was not even getting on the field. I don't even know what the hell happened to him this year. I have no idea.
He sucks. That's what happened.
So that's looking like a wasted pick there. So they're going to have to revamp this receiving core. And I'm always going to say it, that Amari Cooper trade is still looking like dog shit. Bro. And they did nothing of substance to replace him. Nothing. So
he would have been perfect for this game, but
yeah, would have been perfect. 19 would have been a very, you know, a very good, at least for at the very least, a very good outlet. But ifs and buts for candy and nuts, we would all be whatever, however that saying goes.
All right, on the 49ers side, you know, you got Brock Purdy, a quarterback that a lot of people in fantasy are now just, you know, we put him to the, like, he's going to be the starter next year. That's just the feeling that people are hearing within the team area, you know, the rumblings, and just, you know, production-wise, you're seeing somebody that's led this team on an 11-game winning streak. He held his own versus the Cowboys. I mean, he didn't look that flustered, even though that we were in the backfield a lot. He held his own. He did what he needed to do as a game manager. He does it very well. He's a lot more mobile than Jimmy Garoppolo, so... I mean, I wanted to see it, and he proved it to me. Like, hey, I know he can hold his own. And I mean, you sure heard Shanahan, he came out before the game and he was, they were asking him questions about Purdy. And he was like, he's the most prepared player he's ever coached, not quarterback, but player, period. As a Mr. Irrelevant, he's the most prepared player he's ever coached. So that goes without even saying that I don't think they really cared that much of Trey Lance. I know I've always, not always thought, but it just seems more and more evident that Trey Lance wasn't the pick that he wanted. He wanted to draft probably Mac Jones, somebody that could think about, look at Purdy and look at Mac Jones in terms of, you know, their poise and how they deliver the ball efficiently. And I mean, Mac Jones last year, not this year, but how at their young age, they've been able to, you know, command the offense and do what needs to be done to keep the ball moving and scoring. So, I mean, I think this is his Mac Jones. I think Trey Lance is pretty much cooked, honestly. So,
yeah, and it also helps that you have a freak tight end like George Kittle,
yep,
a route technician like Brandon Ayuk, and a yak monster in Deebo Samuel, and yep, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. I mean, that,
yep,
those things matter.
Yeah,
it does matter what he's surrounded with. But to your point, I mean, that offense they were scoring more points and they were much more efficient moving the ball this year. So that's, you know, that's one thing that I can, you know, definitely give him props on. But yeah, you know, Brock Purdy wasn't extraordinarily good in this game, and he managed the game. I mean, that's what he did. He managed the game and didn't turn the ball over.
Nope.
That's the most important thing there. Didn't turn the ball over. There were opportunities the Cowboys could have gotten turnovers with tip passes, but hey, that's the difference between wins and losses. You know, some of the bounces go your way, some of the bounces, you know, you luck out as some of those don't go against you. And so yeah, it was just a solid, you know, game managing clinic that Brock Purdy put on. But you know, well, he's going to have a bigger test against the Eagles next week in the NFC Championship game. That pass rush, I think they set an NFL record for sacks in a season or something like that.
They have four guys that had over 10 sacks, which was the most ever.
Yeah, that's insane. That's insane. So they just get after the quarterback and they are just relentless. So we're going to see if, you know, how Brock Purdy plays in this game, and he may be forced to air the ball out a little bit more and do a lot more, because I don't think that Eagles defense is going to let up. At least they're going to go after him. They're going to come after him. We're going to see Brock Purdy see if he can perform.
Eagles versus Giants. You know, this was the third rendition for this matchup, and it was
a preseason game.
Yeah, it was a preseason game. Just looked like walkthrough, man. Just the Eagles just did whatever. Like they were just so efficient. Just didn't, you know, Hurts didn't have to extend himself really. I mean, AJ Brown didn't even have to do anything. Dallas Goedert did a little bit. It's just, I'm not even sure what else to. There's nothing really to talk about on the Eagles side. Like they just didn't. It just, I mean, every running back in the backfield scored a touchdown except for Miles Sanders. Go figure.
Little 2021 vibes, right?
Yeah, I know.
Score a touchdown. But yeah, they rushed for 268 yards, and you know, it's like, come on. Boston Scott, death taxes on a Boston Scott touchdown against the Giants. I mean, come on. Right. We see that. And then Kenny Gainwell got in the end zone. Hurts got in the end zone. Yeah. It was a laugher. It was a laugher. The Giants didn't even come close to competing. There was no point in that game where we thought, oh, you remember the Giants might mount come back. Nope. It's 28-0 at halftime, and there was really nothing to suggest that the Giants were going to compete. And you know, Daniel Jones turned back into a pumpkin, and you know Daniel Jones's performance against the Vikings was great, but you know they're not going to play the Vikings every week in the playoffs. And you play a real defense, this is the result you're going to get. And when you don't have any skill guys worth a damn. I know Isaiah Hodgins looked pretty good for a couple of weeks there, down the stretch of the season, but you know Darius Slay, Bradbury, that secondary, that you know they weren't playing that shit. They weren't playing that shit. So it was an easy game for the Eagles. Obviously, they're going to be tested a lot more with you know better weapons and a better overall team in the 49ers. I'm actually looking forward to seeing this game. I just want to see like who you know how these teams match up with each other. I'm really like interested to see like how these teams match up and you know who's gonna. I know the Eagles wide receivers, they may have a pretty good matchup, you know, for the first of the 49ers corners, because we know they're just 20th against the pass, and the 49ers are first against the run. So it'll be an interesting you know time to see if Jalen Hurts can torch that secondary. And I think AJ Brown and Devontae Smith have an advantage here.
Yeah, I think it's really going to be which quarterback can be uncomfortable, and when they're uncomfortable, who's going to be able to make the play. Really, I think it's more on Purdy than it is Jalen, because of you know the threat of the you know, him running really helps Jalen, but it will be a test of how Purdy can perform against this defense when being uncomfortable, because he's going to be in moments where he's going to be uncomfortable. I mean, if you thought the Cowboys pass rush was good, just wait until you play Philly. So
yeah, and we saw him be uncomfortable for the first time, I think all season long. He was uncomfortable for the first time, and you saw what happened. You know, they only scored 19 points, and they needed two Dak interceptions to score 6 points, six more. So they would have had like 13 points. If you told me that the Cowboys would have held the 49ers at 19 points, you would have think the Cowboys would have won. But so if no turnovers, we'd probably be talking about the Eagles versus Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. But we're not.
Nope.
And we can move on.
Yep. All right, real quick for the Giants. Barkley and Jones, we know they're both out of contract, unrestricted free agents. You think that if they both come back to the Giants in terms of, you know, fantasy for next season, will this lead you to, you know, sway you from thinking Barkley would be what, probably the first or second running back coming off the board if we're drafting right now? Would that, him coming back, would that sway you from that, or you just trust the talent that much? And then also for Daniel Jones, is he somebody that you can actually draft now that you've seen him? You know, he was pretty much a top 12 quarterback this year. Didn't turn the ball over much at all. You know, Daboll did his magic, man. He was very efficient with the ball. I'll just say that.
I mean, he only had 15 touchdowns in 16 games. I mean, I he's probably going to go around the same range that he went last year, to be quite honest. Barely drafted, maybe at the tail end, maybe late round quarterback. I mean, I'm not going to prioritize him or anything like that, but in terms of Barkley, though, he'll probably be a top three back. He'll be at the top of these draft boards for sure. Playing, you know, year two under Brian Daboll in that offense. So I think it's a pretty much a no brainer that he comes back and, you know, continues his comeback trail, because, you know, the last couple of years before this one, he was, you know, was banged up, injured, and now he's, you know, had a bit of a redemption year. So I'd like to see what's to come from Saquon.
Yeah, I think sleeper drafts, he was going 12. You could get him in the second round. Now he's probably going to be top three. So
yeah, there were times early in the summer where he was going in like the third round.
Yeah,
he was going like the late second, early third. I know on one of my underdog teams, I got him like pick 29.
Yeah,
once. And so it's crazy. But now you can't do that. The discount.
Yeah, it's over. The return on investment was excellent, but yeah, now it's over. He's a top three, top four pick. All right. Chiefs and Jags. You know, it was an interesting game. We saw Mahomes drive down, well, should basically Kelce drive down the field, and in the second drive, saw Mahomes get hurt. We saw, you know, Chad Henne come in, and you know, he held his own. He let it drive to the end zone. And then Mahomes comes back in the second half with the high ankle sprain. It's crazy. No, it was just Mahomes and Kelce. That was really what it was in that game. They could not stop Kelce at all. I know the last two seasons of playoff games, Kelce, the lowest output he's played in six games, the lowest output is 95 yards, 95, 96, 108, 133, 118, and 109. So he's not going anywhere. In terms of fantasy, he's still going to be the first or second tight end taken.
First round pick.
Yeah, no slowing down as long as he's attached to Mahomes there. So outside of that, I mean, the Chiefs didn't really have much. And you had Kadarius Toney flash some moments when he got some touches. But outside of that, it wasn't really much going on this Chiefs offense. I know Pacheco, he looked good in the first half.
Had a long run, a 40-yard run.
Yeah, yeah. But outside of that, I mean, they didn't really have to do too much.
Yeah, the Jags offense. I mean, they actually missed some opportunities. I think Christian Kirk dropped a touchdown or dropped a deep ball .
Perfect ball pass.
Yeah. And Jamal Agnew fumbled at the 5-yard line.
Yeah,
going in, I think, to make it a game.
Yep.
But so there were some opportunities for Jacksonville, but they couldn't take advantage. So yeah, there's a positive outlook for the Jags. I mean, you know, Trevor Lawrence, the second season, made the playoffs, won a playoff game, was somewhat competitive in Arrowhead. You know, there was a couple of things they could have, you know, done better, but there's a lot to like about that Jacksonville core, and they're getting Calvin Ridley next year.
Yeah, so, I mean, Trevor Lawrence finished QB8 this past season. So, and we called it before the season. We told you when we saw Doug Peterson plus Jim Bob Cooter that things were going to get popping, and sure enough, after, you know, it took him a little time to get acclimated, but once it got going. You know, we talked about Calvin Ridley. They got Christian Kirk. They got Zay Jones. He's still under contract. Hopefully, they can figure out to bring back Evan Ingram, or he can go back Chase. I don't know which one, but it looks like they're set up next year in terms of offensively to, you know, to come back and win that division again and make some real noise for sure.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look across that division, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with, you know, Tennessee and their quarterback situation. the Indianapolis Colts are they haven't found a quarterback since Andrew Luck retired, and the Texans are the Texans. So
who
exactly that team in Houston? I think they play professional football. So the Jags, they have a clear path to win the division again, like you said. So
yeah, I'm excited in terms of trying to get a piece of this offense in fantasy next year for sure. This is definitely one of the targets for me. In the last game, I think the most surprising game, I think, for everybody watching was the Bills and Bengals, how the Bills just pretty much didn't show up, man. Just no call, no show, pissed down their leg, wasn't ready for the moment, just everything, man. They just didn't have it, like, at all. And it was clear, like, the first drive where the Bengals just went down, score right away, and I was like, oh, okay. And then the Bills, they kind of drive, and it's like, oh, and then they go in three and out, and then three and out again, and the Bengals smash them again and go put some more points on the board, put 10-0. I'm just like, these guys are not ready to play. And
no, it was 14-0.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was 14-0.
It was a chase in the touchdown and then the Hayden Hurst touchdown.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 14-0 before you can even blink out of the first quarter.
Yep.
And it was a wrap. I know in the newsletter I said that they needed playoff Gabe to show up. He did not. Just every time you looked up and he could make a play, he didn't make a play, kept dropping the ball. Diggs tried, but they bracketed his ass a lot.
Josh Allen was just off target too.
He was just off. Yeah. The front four was getting to him. It was just getting to him. And
they're also bringing safety blitzes too. And
they were
banged up. He was getting, you know,
smashed at the end of the game. They were smashing him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I mentioned in the newsletter that the Bengals needed to make sure to keep Burrow upright for them to have a good chance. And he was upright a lot of that game, even with the makeshift offensive line that was
missing three starters,
and they still kept him upright and he looked comfortable. So, and then Mixon, he did his thing. I think he ran over 100 yards. I didn't think that was going to happen.
105.
The Bills, and I mean, they didn't use any of the running backs. It was a zero, basically. They didn't throw to him, really. Didn't run the ball. I don't know, man.
I mean, Josh Allen, I mean, this is the second straight divisional round that he's gone out. And this game, particularly, he wasn't good. I mean,
yeah.
Which is, we it kind of begs the question, is that why doesn't he get that smoke, you know, for not playing well? I mean, he led the league in turnovers. Like,
he did, and nobody said a thing.
Nobody said a peep. One of the more underreported stories is that the Bills as a team led the NFL in giveaways, and Josh Allen led the NFL in giveaways in turnover.
Yeah.
I mean, and people just shrugged and just turned their nose at it. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I just think that was one of the more underreported stats and narratives that people just decided to ignore and sweep under the rug. But hey, that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to point that out. I think Josh Allen should be getting some smoke. Super talented dude. Back-to-back years of 35-plus touchdown passes. But those turnovers.
Yep.
That's one thing that, regardless of if Dable's there or not, continues to do. He continues to do. So, but that's just, you know, that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah. Fantasy-wise, what do we want to see from this team? You know, they're still going to have Diggs. We know Gabe Davis is really just a wide receiver three.
I need another receiver. They need another wide receiver. That I mean, they would definitely benefit to have another wide receiver that could do it all. Like, he can stretch the field, he can run routes, he can do whatever, he can, you know, inside and out, versatile guy. You know, we don't need any of these, you know, these fake gadget guys like Isaiah McKenzie. Khalil Shakir is a pretty good receiver, but he's not used that much.
Yep.
John Brown is they just signed him. He's old.
But Cole,
they
need
they signed these older vets because they could definitely use a wide receiver for sure. I think they need to prioritize wide receiver in the draft. I think that's one thing that we should keep an eye on this offseason.
Yeah. The Bengals side, I mean, I pretty much talked about it. There's really nothing much else to say. We saw Chase and Hurst go to work. I thought this was going to be a T. Higgins game.
Me too. Disappointed.
Yeah, but didn't need him. Between Hurst and Chase, it was it was curtain. So we get to see them play the Chiefs. So it should be an exciting game. I think the Bengals are going to win that game and go back to the Super Bowl. But this is my opinion. But we'll wait to see when they play the games. That's what we play them for. So anything in terms of conference championship previews in terms of the Bengals and Chiefs, what we're looking for? I know it'd be interesting about the Mahomes injury because we know it's a high ankle sprain. Anybody else a high ankle sprain, they weren't playing. So, and apparently he's going to be playing. I don't know how effective he's going to be versus.
That's the storyline there. That's the storyline. Like that's the one thing I want to see because we know what Joe Burrow usually does to the Kansas City Chiefs.
On the road,
but in for his career, he's played against the Chiefs. He's averaging 327 yards passing. You know, I think his Prize Picks prop is 265 and a half, and on Underdog is 276 and a half. Smash the over on both, which is what I'm going to do. And hell, two touchdowns, I'd probably take that as well. Because I think it's set at two touchdowns, over under for touchdown passes. Yeah.
But right now on Prize Picks, they have a Burrow over half a yard right now. So definitely take advantage of that. I think they have that running until Sunday right before the game. So get that in. Don't waste any time and get that in now if you want to. So
yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that's all I have. I mean, I honestly want to just look at to see, you know, what to make of the Mahomes injury. If he's going to be healthy. He's obviously not going to be healthy, but just how effective will he be? What will Andy Reid do? You know, how will this affect his play calling? Is he going to lean more heavily on the run? Are we going to see a lot more McKinnon? Are we going to see a lot more Pacheco between the tackles? You know, swing passes, short, you know, quick game, slants, screens. We'll see. We'll see, man.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, if it's any indication, it's going to be a lot of short passing for the most part. Because that's basically what they did in that second half. It was just kind of got the ball out of his hands quick, tried to mix in the run. The run didn't really work that much in the second half. And I know Cincinnati, they're pretty good on stopping the run too. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And then you like to rush four and cover with seven. So we'll see if they try to switch that up just a little bit. So. You know, and do you want to talk about your underdog, how your teams are going, how they're going right now?
Yeah, I got a little I started some of these gauntlet tourneys or best ball tournaments. So I got four teams that are remaining. So I have two that are in the gauntlet returns on underdog. And this team has Jalen Hurts, Jerick McKinnon, Kenny Gainwell, Devontae Smith, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Quez Watkins, and Justin Watson. So this scenario, I would prefer a Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. And not only that, but the guys that I just kind of read off, I would hope that they are at least integral parts of the game plan this weekend. You can have all the players, but if they don't perform the way they need to perform, then you're not going to advance. And then it's all for naught. So hopefully I can make it to the final in this one. And, you know, we'll see. But this team also had Trevor Lawrence, Saquon Barkley, and then Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk had a pretty good game. And so, but, you know, I have a lot of my guys still alive, and hopefully they can make it to the promised land. And then I have another team in the gauntlet. This was more Cowboys Chiefs friendly. I don't know how they made it through, but, you know, obviously Dak Prescott's not going to be getting points. Tony Pollard, Devin Singletary, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup, they're not going to be getting points for me. Yeah. The only guys that I have left that are going to be accumulating points is Boston Scott, Travis Kelce, and MVS. And so, for some strange reason, they all combined for like 75 points or something. I think what I've learned with all these teams is that around 75 to 80 points usually gets you first place and usually gets you through to the next round. So like for instance, this team got 78.5 points. So, and that's with, you know, Dak underperforming, only having one running back have 9 points. But Kelce had almost 30, Lamb at 17, Zay Jones had 11. So if you can get like a large distribution somewhere or a large point total somewhere from between Scott, Kelce, and MVS, who knows? Maybe we'll make it to the final again, and then anything could happen then, right? But yeah, I don't have a quarterback or another receiver, so we'll see what happens there. And then I have a couple of mitten teams. This is like the smaller $5 entry. This is a, and this team has a Kansas City, Philadelphia, makeup. You know, Mahomes is the quarterback, and then I have McKinnon and Boston Scott as my running backs. Then I have Devontae Smith, Kadarius Toney, Dallas Goedert, and Sky Moore. So this will be a good, you know, Chiefs, Eagles, another Chiefs, Eagles pivot. If things, you know, play out the way I want them to play out. And on this team, I also had Christian Kirk and Travis Etienne, and they all both had pretty good games. And that's probably why I advanced in this one, because of those two kind of pushed me over the top, because McKinnon did nothing. Kadarius Toney didn't accumulate enough points to be counted. So, and this team total got 78 points. So,
yeah.
Just enough to make it. Just barely enough to make it. And then I have one more mitten returns again. And this team is more Bengals than anything. So I have Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, and Ja'Marr Chase. So I got those three going on to the next round. And, you know, they had pretty good games. But on the run back, I got Brandon Ayuk. And then I have Quez Watkins. So, but in this scenario, the idea, you know, actually just backing up a little bit, ideally you want five players in the final. Once you advance, you want to have five players that can accumulate points. But in either one of these scenarios, should, you know, the Bengals, let's say the Bengals and Eagles go to the Super Bowl, right? I would only have four players, but it would be Burrow, Chase, and Mixon, and then Quez Watkins. And then on the other side, if it was the 49ers, I'd have Burrow, Chase, Mixon, and Ayuk, which is a better, right? It's a better, you know, four players, but it's only four players.
Yeah.
So my only hope is that I accumulate enough points between, you know, maybe Burrow and Chase that, you know, the fifth player won't even matter. And so, that's how my teams are looking. I drafted, you know, quite a few. This is what you have to do in order to at least get one, get one or two in the final. But I have four that have a possibility of making it to the final in each of these tournaments. So we'll see how it turns out.
And I know underdog. I know at this point you can't really get into, you know, the conference championship and then Super Bowl type tournaments, but they do run. They do have these $5, you know, conference championships for the AFC and NFC. And, you know, if you score the most out of the whole tournament, you win, I think, like $25,000. So there's still a chance to get in those and, you know, draft the team and try to win some money there. So,
yeah, they have conference. They have battle royals. So they have a conference championship battle royal. And then they have $5 entries specifically for NFC and then specifically for the AFC. So but these ones that are specific, conference specific, they're full PPR, because, you know, if the key thing about underdog is normally they're half PPR, but this is full PPR.
Oh,
yeah. So these particular ones are full PPR. So that's another thing to kind of think about as well. Okay. And they're only $5 entries. And I think first place gets $5K for these. So, yeah, I mean, there's still opportunities to, you know, to get in there and get some coin. Get some coin before this wonderful football season ends.
And on that note, we are at the end of the show. So please make sure tap into the All Gas newsletter that drops every Friday at 7 a.m. You can find that at Destination Devi on Twitter and subscribe, or you can follow me. Usually I drop a link probably around between 7 and 9. I'll drop a link for you to be able to get access to that newsletter. You know, the whole team's dropping a bunch of good stuff. So, you know, just keep rocking with us. We'll have some things you know, getting ready to trying to get you ready for the for your rookie drafts and getting ready for the next season. So please tap into those things. So, and again, you can follow us, our official Twitter handle, Off the Line FF. Ike, you got anything before we get out of here?
Nah, yeah, just like Gene said, just continue to tap into all the, you know, all the stuff that we're doing. We're dropping a lot of dope content. And then, you know, good luck this weekend if you're entering in, into any one of these, you know, underdog tournaments. And oh, before we go, we got a couple of props for you. We mentioned, you know, Joe Burrow over 265.5 on Prize Picks. And obviously they have the over 0.5 on first pass yards on Prize Picks right now. You can definitely go ahead and lock that in and add another, you know, another prop, you know, at your disposal. And then 276.5 passing yards on Underdog as well. Again, like I mentioned earlier, he's averaging 327 yards per game versus Kansas City in his career. So I think he clears both of these totals. And then I know Gene had one, George Kittle over 3.5 receptions as well. I think he's going to find a lot of George Kittle. Brock Purdy's going to find a lot of George Kittle this weekend in Philadelphia. He's going to be forced to pass and check down to the outlet guy, especially if he's going to be under siege and Kittle will be there. So I think those are two pretty good props.
Yep. I do agree with that. On that note, we'll be talking to y'all next week. So y'all enjoy these conference championships. And, you know, in a couple of weeks, we'll get ready for the Super Bowl. But in between that, we got the Super Bowl, the Senior Bowl coming up, I believe, next week. So we're getting ready for, you know, the offseason and getting ready for rookie draft. So until then, we will holler at y'all.
Peace out.